The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to jettison January and start a brand new month, hopefully a month where we get back to maybe some normal temperatures and a little bit of rain. We are in a severe drought here in southern Arizona. It is February 1st. In Ireland, today's a holiday. It's St. Bridget's Day, which kind of marks the midpoint of winter, but the Irish like to look forward to spring, so it's kind of the unofficial start of spring in the Emerald Isle. I could live with that. Ray Allen on the other side of the glass. Ray, welcoming our listeners, as am I, to the Buckmaster Show. And the first Thursday of the month, we do our monthly showdown. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But I do want to tell you, we are coming from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. And, of course, we have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. That's my website. And KVOI, that is the station's website. Have all of our podcasts, pretty much every show we have done since we launched the show the first week in January in 2011. And that's available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is open. Ray would be happy to take your call and then get you prepped to go on the air at 790-2040. It is monthly showdown time. This is where left meets right, or right meets left. Seated to my left, appropriately enough, David Morales. David, how are you?
Doing excellent.
David is the creator of the popular blog site, The Three Sonorans, which recently celebrated its 10th anniversary, or was it 9th?
The 7th anniversary.
7th, okay.
8th.
David studied mathematics at the graduate school at UC Berkeley. Then he finished up his master's at the University of Arizona, and now he has put that degree to good use. He teaches college math at Pima Community College. David's sparring mate. Hey, mate. How are you, mate? Conservative columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. He also writes for the Western Free Press. com. He is Joseph Morgan, whose show, about 7 months into the program, the weekly talk show called Common Sense, and it airs here Saturday afternoon on KVOI at 1 o'clock. Joseph loves history. He has an advanced degree, a master's in history from the University of Arizona. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me again.
Well, it's good to see both of you. Last night, let's begin with an issue that's so close to David Morales' heart. I mean, David, if there was one marquee issue, I would say it would be Mexican-American studies that is kind of goes to the heart of what you – it's really kind of why you started the Three Sonorans, wasn't it? Yeah. But anyway, last night, by a 3-2 vote, the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board decided to keep its distance from its former ethnic studies curriculum. This in the wake of that federal court ruling that an Arizona law, the Mexican-American Studies Program at TUSD, was racist and unconstitutional. So things just stay the same? Is that the deal?
Pretty much. I mean, I think, you know, they banned it in 2012. For the last 6 years, you know, they've been just kind of blaming the state the whole time. And now they have a chance to, you know, make it right, undo an injustice that was done to our community. You know, MAS was created here in Tucson by Tucsonans. It was super successful. You know, every study, every independent audit has shown that, you know, it's a very successful program. And then they banned it, you know, and the court just, you know, recently ruled that ban was unconstitutional based in racial animus, which means the whole intent of everything that was done was basically racist, which, you know, then infers, you know, you go forward and you say, well, you know, Mark Stegeman, Mike Hicks, and Rachel Sedgwick are perpetuating this system of white supremacy that continues to rule in this state, in this country, to where, you know, certain people's histories are not considered valid or you know, worthy of being, you know, discussed and educating students about it.
Dave or Joe, what do you think?
Well, I'd like to know how the decision that was reached at the school board yesterday is perpetuating white supremacy. I'd like you to clarify that, because
it's perpetuating the original ban itself, the getting rid of Mexican American studies was racist.
Okay, but how is the vote that took place on Tuesday perpetuating white supremacy?
Because it's keeping the Mexican American studies banned.
No, TSD. It isn't.
Yes, it is.
Do they still have any kind of?
They have other classes. Yeah,
no, the curriculum's being put together. Essentially, what was voted on is that they were not going to own it themselves. They were not going to agree that they had done anything wrong by disallowing it, and they were. But the curriculum is being put together by CRC. Cam Warris spoke, and he's putting it together. And there's a lot of educators who are there. In fact, I think it was.
What do you mean Cam Warris is putting it together? What?
CRC.
Cam Warris has no affiliation with the district.
No, I know. I said CRC.
Okay.
Yeah, he was there. He's quoted in the TucsonNews.com. Essentially, what was that motion there? It was even characterized as such by I'm drawing a blank on her name. There's Grijalva and
Crystal Foster.
Crystal Foster. Yes, thank you. Well, I was thinking of cinema for some reason, but Crystal Foster said it's an olive branch to the educators, and there's a lot of educators there. And essentially, it's an owning of the behavior of the board in disallowing for all these years.
But you say it's wrong for David to characterize.
Yeah,
this
of course
as,
it is, because how is it
white supremacy?
Yeah, how is it perpetuating anything? Because they're not the ban has been removed. They're just not moving forward with taking ownership of having kept the ban in place all those years, but they're not disallowing curriculum to move forward. They're not disallowing teaching of programs. They're just not getting a hands-on approach in the immediate sense of the word. And I believe that two weeks ago at the January 16th board meeting, if I'm not mistaken, that the superintendent mentioned the fact that they were looking at things to present to the board for later things. So you said that what took place Tuesday was a perpetuation of, that's where your comment, was a perpetuation of white supremacy, and I was calling you out on that and saying, how is their refusal to deny the motion that was put forward a perpetuation of that? Because it's simply an inaccurate thing to say.
Let me explain to you how white supremacy works in this state. White supremacy is when you have a sheriff who's found guilty of racial profiling, found guilty in federal court, and instead of being held accountable for his actions where illegal is illegal, you have to have the president pardon him. And then you have, you know, you wrote an article supporting the pardoning of a racial profiling sheriff in the Star. I mean, you're supporting illegal is illegal. But now we have the same federal court saying that this was innocent, so it should be taken out of its prison that it's been put in. It should be released back on the public where students can access it. I mean, that's all the whole reason the Maya Arce, you know, filed this court, because she wanted to take these classes. She wants her brother to take these classes. She wants all the community to take these classes. And so Mike Hicks, Mark Stegeman, and Rachel Cedric are perpetuating. They're keeping the initial white supremacist intent by the state going by keeping the same result done.
No, they're not.
The same result
there
is done.
There is nothing in Tuesday's vote that is disallowing MAS studies programs from ever being enacted in the district. That is simply
maybe in the future,
a false characterization of what took place.
They're not bringing it back now.
Like that is a false characterization, which is why I asked you to explain how they're...
In the future, okay, maybe with the new school board this year, they could bring it back. So what you said is right. In the future, they could bring it back. But right now, when they have a chance to, right now, they've been found that this person's in jail. It's been found innocent. Let him go. This program has been found innocent. Let it go. Let it be taught. Let it be released.
And we'll wait until the superintendent comes forward with what he said they were working on. And like I said, in conjunction with CRC, that separate group, which is actually working on the curriculum, and those comments were made. Essentially, what I said is true. Essentially, there was an olive branch to basically admit fault by the district, and that is what the board refused to do. They're not admitting any fault, that they didn't have any racial animus or anything else, and they're not going to.
But it doesn't close the door.
Yeah, it doesn't close the door on anything, and it's not a perpetuation. So what I'm saying is
that closes the door right now.
That is a gross characterization. But anyways,
what do you mean it doesn't close the door? The MAS cannot be taught in TUSD right now. Why? Because of the TUSD.
There is not a curriculum in place. There's not a curriculum to teach other than the old curriculum, and Mark Hicks address it. You might have some cause if the superintendent, whenever he gets back with what he said on January 16th, if that doesn't lead to that.
Look, it's very simple. On January 10th, 2012, what Michael Hicks' resolution said was that put it on hold for now. And so all they have to do is just kind of undo that. Just say, okay, well, now you can go back to as you were.
All right, we'll take our break right here. It is the monthly showdown, 790-2040. If you'd like to join in the conversation, we'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares. And the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll speak with Arizona Speaker of the House, J.D. Mesnard. The Friday Roundtable features Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our monthly showdown. Joseph Morgan is here. Mr. Morgan does a talk show here on KVOI, 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. And David Morales for the Three Sonorans blog. It is left meeting right, right meeting left. And Joe Morgan, what do you think of this recent controversy involving State Representative Todd Clodfelter and his public use of a personal laptop computer with a Confederate battle flag emblazoned on its screen while he was attending a harassment and ethics training session in the House wing of the state capitol? Is this much ado about nothing?
Oh, absolutely. It's much ado about nothing. I my initial thoughts about the initial reason for why he decided to write an op-ed was really, I mean, somebody had their feelings hurt by seeing the Confederate flag on a laptop. I guess. But then I'll just follow that up with, I didn't understand the need for his op-ed. I mean, just let it go. I mean,
that's his op-ed in the Star, where he basically said, Confederate flag, I see, it is not racist,
right,
and neither am I.
Right. Yeah. And I would tend to agree with him on that it's not racist either, because if it's going to be racist, then you need to talk to all the black people in those southern states who proudly wave it and proudly enjoy it, because they have a cultural connection to it that is quite apart from it being a racist thing. So, I mean, he is correct about the complexities of any of those kind of banners and different things of that nature, but I didn't even understand the need for the response in the initial op-ed that he wrote. But again, the controversy got stirred up by somebody seeing it and then suddenly having their feelings. Again, that stuff just blows my mind. I mean,
where
we're at.
What do you think, David?
Well, I think it's not always that people's feelings are being hurt. It's not necessarily that, like, you know, I'm offended or I'm hurt, because I'm really not. But symbols are important, and they're important especially when you're an elected official. And I think, you know, the Confederate flag is a symbol, a representation of a pro-slavery. You call it racist or not if you want, but it's a pro-slavery movement that decided to fight the United States to become our sworn enemy on the battlefields to fight for slavery. And they were our enemy. And I could see, like, having a Mississippi flag or a Georgia flag or something like that, but this is a representation of this break off from the United States that led to one of the most bloodiest wars, and I think the bloodiest wars in our history. And I think symbols are important. I mean, think about it. I mean, this is a sworn enemy of the United States that he's celebrating. And then think about how offended and how feelings hurt conservatives get when they see a black man kneel when the national anthem is being sung. You know, just think about how much it gets under his nerves, and just think about how much it matters. And that's just kneeling. That's not wearing a flag or celebrating a flag of a sworn enemy.
Okay, your statements don't have any appreciation for historical context of things. And my feelings aren't hurt and I've talked about this ad nauseum about the national anthem thing. Conservatives' feelings aren't hurt. We don't understand the disrespect to a symbol that all of us claim to
represent. Who says it's disrespect?
Of course it's disrespectful.
Kneeling?
Yes, of course it is.
How?
So, because when they say rise,
when you go to church, don't you kneel?
Through this, when they say rise for the national anthem, when they say bow your heads in for a moment of silence, if you're at an event and somebody says something like that, for you to willfully and then make sure that you're in front of a camera so everybody sees you doing something that is totally against what is being asked of you to show respect. Of course it's disrespectful, but I'm not going to get into it.
So what you're saying is kneeling is a disrespectful gesture, is what you're saying.
In that context, of course it is.
So when you kneel down before your wife, when you propose to her, you're being disrespectful to her.
Okay, so now you're taking the context of a situation.
You're saying kneeling.
No, I didn't. I said in that context. So anyways, back to the original.
Now, if he gave his middle finger to it, that would be disrespectful. But kneeling itself is not a disrespectful gesture.
I didn't say that. I said in the context of that situation. So again, back to the context of the flags thing. Like I said, the historical context of the flag situation. For example, this one in particular. Are you aware that what we call the Confederate flag was not the original flag that was a part of the original separating group, the Confederacy? It wasn't. It was the battle flag of the Virginia militia, which was all about states' rights and their leadership was
and
all
their
about,
right to what?
Hold on a second.
Their right to own slaves.
No.
Yes.
Hold on a second. The history of the South in their declaration as a Confederacy, you're absolutely right. Racism is a part of that creed, what they were pulling out. But I'm talking about the state battle flag of Virginia.
It then became the
battle flag. It then eventually grew into something bigger because of the successes
the
of the Virginia.
States,
yes, because of the Virginia
it was
Army.
Adopted
exactly.
By, yes.
And so it's got a much more complex history to it, that particular banner, which is why to this day, black people wave it proudly in the South.
Oh, yeah. They're all over the place.
All right.
They are all over the place.
All right. Let's go to the live line. Tom has called us at 790-2040. Tom, what's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for letting me on this, guys. I'm a conservative. However, I'm going to take my fellow conservatives' line of thought. The swastika didn't originate in Germany. Who cares? Does it matter? It is a matter of respect. And the Confederate flag, wherever it originated, it became a symbol of tyranny and a symbol of oppression, and millions of people died. Millions of people were held against their will, and that flag is that symbol. So you want to talk about respect, that's what that's about. It may not offend you. It may not hurt your feelings. However, history is history, and you can't erase the past.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Sheldon is up next at 790-2040. Sheldon, you had a question about, you wanted to know if Mark Stegman, who is the current president of the TUSD governing board, wanted to put Dr. Trujillo in as the superintendent.
He originally wanted Trejo.
Trejo, excuse me. Okay, yes. David can enlighten us on that.
I believe that was who his choice was, but yeah. That time has passed now.
All right. Shelton, so do you want to respond at all to Tom's question about the flag being a symbol of tyranny,
racism? Yeah, so with respect, again, yes. As with regards to anything, context is where it comes from. And he's just, I'm sorry, Tom, you're wrong. Go consult a history book. The Confederate battle flag, which became what we call the Confederate flag, was not the original flag of the Confederacy. It simply was not. It eventually got adopted because, like I said, the victories of the Virginia militia led by who? Robert E. Lee. So that eventually became their symbol. And driven in that particular thing is the complex weaving of states' rights issues and a lot of these other things. By the way, there were black slave owners in Louisiana. They had a major one. He had the third largest plantation in all the South, and he was a black slave owner. So I'm not denying that racism is a part of this. What I am saying is for people to sit here and say this means this, therefore it must mean this to everybody, is simply an inaccurate thing to say, and it remains inaccurate to this day. There are black people who proudly wave the Confederate flag because of that connection. In fact, I hear treatises from some of these people on Facebook. They post these things on. Some of them are funny treatises because they themselves, these guys, they are promoting this themselves. These are black people promoting support for the Confederate flag, are also historically inaccurate on things that they're saying even as they're talking. But they are supportive of the Confederate flag is my point. So I understand what you're saying about the swastika, but it is a different thing entirely because from its inception, the swastika, when it was adopted as the symbol of the Nazi Party, was going to adopt everything that Nazi Party stood for. It didn't become something that it was not originally. So
and
that's
it was
my point.
It was an ancient symbol, by the way, that sure. had been used back to the Greek times.
Sure.
That symbol has been used. Anyway, David, you're not. You're
well, I mean, I was going to say, like, if you look at when all of these waves of Confederate flag waving you know, emerged like in the 60s. There was a, you know, it's always like when there's a civil rights movement, like, you know, it's always in response to, it's just a coincidence, I guess, but I think there's a strong correlation. Regarding the national anthem, I mean, I don't know why any black person should have to stand for an anthem that talks about the slavery and killing of slaves. You know, we've already talked about this before. And symbols are important. For example, a lot of Americans have a false history about scalping by Native Americans. So the term redskin is actually a term that was meant, like, it was the Indians that were being scalped, and there you could get paid for scalping them. The redskins meant basically that was, it doesn't mean like their skin is red. It means they were, that's how they were left, bloodied and dead. So a redskin is literally a scalped Native American who got killed for money. So now when you talk about the Washington Redskins, that's not funny. That's not even cute. That's not, like I said, it doesn't offend me. Like, I don't go home and cry about it. But, I mean, I think it's just a stupid symbol. It's a racist symbol.
I assume you're happy that Chief Wahoo, the longtime symbol of the Cleveland Indians, I think going back to 1947, is going to go bye-bye. I assume you're happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's an ignorant symbol. I mean, it represents stupidity and racism, too. I mean,
and you'd like to see the Redskins go away as well,
name. If anyone knows what a Redskin is, there is no way you could, like, celebrate Redskinism, you know, like, you just can't.
Okay.
You know,
Joseph,
well, word. Thank you. I can't comment on the
scalp,
the etymology of the word redskin, so thank you for that history, because that's news to me. So I don't have a comment with regards to that. What I will say with regards to the Washington Redskins is they've done numerous polling, specifically in the northeastern Indian tribe areas where those Indians are in that area, and they don't care. And this is, they've done polling on it numerous times, because whether that term actually meant what you said when it officially got started, it doesn't mean that anymore or carry those kind of connotations even to Native American peoples. And so people don't care. So when people who are outside, specifically white people, white elitists a lot of times, are making a bigger deal about this than Native people, I find that hilarious, okay? Because they want to have a political discussion about something that is really not that major of a problem, even to the people who it should be supposedly a problem for.
Okay, guys, got to go. Joseph Morgan, we'll look for your show this Saturday, 1 o'clock. The name of the program is Common Sense. David Morales will look for your work at the Three Sonorans. Thank you both very much.
Happy Black History Month.
All right, thanks.
The Tucson Gem and Mineral Society proudly presents the 64th Annual Tucson Gem and Mineral Show.
The Tucson Gem and Mineral Show is the single finest gem and mineral show in the world. There's thousands of enthusiastic buyers, and the collectors are really fortunate to see an assemblage of the finest mineral specimens, gems, and jewelry that they'll see anywhere on the planet.
The Tucson Gem and Mineral Show, February 8th through the 11th at the Tucson Convention Center. Go to tgms.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact.
Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Bon Voyage Travel's 2018 Travel Showcase is back. With over 30 travel companies to share their knowledge and a room full of travel professionals, you can't go wrong. Planning the perfect vacation takes time and involves quite a bit of research. Bon Voyage Travel is here to simplify the process and ensure you always receive the best value. Join us February 3rd at La Paloma from noon to 4 p.m. There'll be presentations, exclusive offers, prizes, and a show floor giving you the opportunity to have a one-on-one consultation with us. Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Alrighty then, Silver City and Grant County makes a great weekend getaway because it is Thursday, time to think about a road trip. It's just a 3-hour drive over to Silver City if you're looking for a nice getaway. Hey, it's almost like it's downright springtime-ish over in Silver City. Check out southwestnewmexico.org. That's a great starting place for the complete listing of places to stay and the many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The Buckmaster Show contributor on science is Dr. David Levy. He is the former science editor of Parade Magazine. He now heads up and really is the founder of the Sharing the Sky science educational organization. David is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, and he's really a good guy as well. Hello, David.
Hello, Bill. And I want to congratulate you today on the article that recently appeared, and it said some things about you that I was not aware, and you and I have known each other now for decades, and it was nice to read that. I was especially interested in your love of the group Chicago.
Oh, I love Chicago, yeah.
Yeah, especially questions 67 and 68, which Thank is my you. Favorite Chicago song.
Thank you very much, and David, you are referring to that really nice write-up, and I'm pretty hard on myself when it comes to pictures, but I think they captured, they had a nice image of me in Tucson Lifestyle. It's the February issue, so folks may want to pick that up. Hey, it's unusual, isn't it, not to have a full moon in a month, and that's what we're looking at in February.
That's right. No full moon in February. It's against the law. It's illegal.
Well, it was very strange. January, we were treated to two full moons and a lunar eclipse.
Yes.
Did you see all the activity that took place on
I slept
Wednesday?
Through it.
You slept through it.
No, I got up, even though I was at the height of this terrible bronchitis. Wendy said, "Are you sure you want to do this?" And I said, "For an eclipse, I do it anyway, no matter how I feel." I got up, I went outside, and I took a picture of the eclipse with my fisheye lens because I wanted to see the sky with the full moon in the picture, and I got that, and I'm very pleased about it.
How rare is what we saw?
An eclipse, a total eclipse of the moon is like every couple of years we get one, and I think we might be getting one again. We're actually going to get one in July, but in order to see it, all your listeners are going to have to get on a plane or a boat and go to the to Asia or Europe to see it. But at the early 2019, we might be able to see it.
Well, it was really quite a sight, wasn't it?
Oh, it was gorgeous.
And they call it a blue moon because
they can call it whatever they like, Bill. But it was
blood red.
Totally, blue moon is actually something that was accidentally started by Sky and Telescope magazine many, many years ago, and I think they simply referred to the idea of two full moons occurring in a month, but that doesn't happen very often. It happens, as they say, once in a blue moon.
There you go. Yeah. How is the search going for that elusive number 24 of comets?
I was so sure that I was going to have it to tell you about it today, but it wasn't. There was a comet in something that looked like a comet in very near the star Castor, but as I checked a little further, it turned out to be a reflection of Castor. Hmm. I've looked at Castor through with that imaging for dozens of years and never saw that, but it suddenly appeared the other night, and that's what it was.
How did you know that's what it was?
Well, first of all, it came two nights later in the same spot.
Oh,
and
so it wasn't moving.
It was definitely not a comet.
It wasn't moving.
Yeah.
All right, David, how is the autobiography coming?
It's coming slowly. It's now scheduled for publication in June of 2019.
Hmm. And I hear the bells are tolling, which indicates that it's time for the David Levy quote of the month.
Yes, it does. And I wanted to point out how very difficult politics is now. It's very hard to reach a compromise in any case at all, in any sense or in any issue. However, I think this might be a good time now to quote from William Shakespeare, who wrote what I think is the most decent, wonderful thing that anyone has ever written about humanity. And I'm going to say that. It's from Hamlet, Act 2, Scene 2, and it goes like this. What a piece of work is a man! How noble in reason, how infinite in faculties, in form and moving, how express and admirable, in action how like an angel, in apprehension how like a god, the beauty of the world, the paragon of animals.
Oh, that was very nice. We needed that. I think all of us needed a little of that that right now.
Just about now.
As you know, I love the constellation Orion, and it is now directly south at 9 p.m., so it's starting its journey to the other side of the equator.
Yes, it is. In fact, during the eclipse the other morning, it was beautifully in sinking to the west, right, not far from the eclipsed moon itself, and I got a good picture of it just a couple of days ago.
Well, I was so pleased to see Orion when I was south of the equator down in French Polynesia last May.
Did you see it upside down there?
It might have been. Maybe it was upside down. I don't know. It's about it. I always think of it, of course, as the holiday formation, you know, in this part of the world, north of the equator, but things are different south of the equator, obviously.
I am to tell you that Wendy and I are now going next week to Chichen Itza, which is the ancient Mayan observatory. As we take a cruise, we're going to be going down that way, and we're really looking forward to it, Bill.
Oh, that is going to be very nice. And you're taking off when?
We're taking off for the end of next week.
Very nice. Have a very safe journey, and we're all set to talk with you for our visit in the month of March. Thank you, David.
Yes, I believe we are.
All right. Thanks a lot. David Levy with us. He is our contributor on science, former science editor of Parade magazine. The Green Things folks do such a great job of keeping the gardening enthusiasts in this town supplied with great Green Things and Gardening Supplies, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk. When you go to their website, got a great website, greenthingsaz.com, you can catch up on all of the free gardening workshops that they have coming up. It's a great location on 13 acres just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Mr. Luce, the attorney, Don Luce, is in the house. He is our contributor on legal affairs, going to bring us up to date on a couple of very key legal points going on right now in the state of Arizona. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The first Thursday of the month, we are joined by the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, Don Luce. Don, one of
two dozen contributors on a regular basis to this program, and there is never a shortage of legal issues to talk about in Arizona. Don Luce of Luce, Brown & Hobkirk Associates. They have offices in Phoenix, and they have a lovely office on River Road, and it's not just a lovely office, but it's an office full of talented people. How's that, Mr. Luce?
Love it. Thank you, Bill.
Don is also the author of Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. He's working on a revised edition of that. There is already a revised edition of Arizona Laws 101, and why wouldn't there be in the state of Arizona, where there is no shortage of legislation that is signed into law.
Boy, that is so true. Now, you and I have talked about this before. Last legislative session, Governor Ducey signed more than 300 bills into law. That's just in one legislative session. And we have a part-time legislature.
A part-time? What if we had a full-time legislature? I don't want to see the damage that could be done there. We talk about medical marijuana, it seems like, almost every month here with Don Luce. But there is always quite a bit of news. I was surprised how many Arizonans are card-carrying members of the medical marijuana fraternity.
Well, in Arizona, as you know, recreational use of marijuana is prohibited. So in order to use marijuana according to state law, you actually have to have a card that is issued by the Department of Health Services. Currently, there are more than 150,000 Arizonans who have these medical marijuana cards and under state law are permitted to buy and use marijuana according to the terms of the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act.
But how does all of that start? Does it start with a visit to a practitioner, a medical doctor, for a doctor's note, and then that starts the ball rolling?
Essentially, that's exactly right. Now, because marijuana is illegal under federal law, a doctor cannot prescribe marijuana for one of his or her patients, but rather can recommend that the patient be issued a medical marijuana card by the Department of Health Services, and that patient can then go to DHS and pay a fee of $150 and be issued a medical marijuana card. And as I mentioned, more than 150,000 Arizonans currently have that card.
Well, state lawmakers are looking at, let's face it, regulating this industry.
Well, they are. So just a little bit of background on the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act. The voters in Arizona in 2010 passed a proposition providing for the legal use of medical marijuana with various conditions and prohibitions and so forth. It was a fairly extensive proposition. The Department of Health Services was charged with implementing the program. And as I'm sure you recall, there were a series of lawsuits challenging the legality of the proposition. Our attorney general at the time, as well as various county prosecutors, were opposed to medical marijuana just in principle. It took several years for all of that to wash out legally, and the end result was that we now have more than 100 dispensaries selling medical marijuana statewide to more than 150,000 Arizonans who can purchase it legally under state law.
Is the price regulated?
No. The price of marijuana is market price.
Sold by the ounce, I assume? Or?
Yes. Yeah. In fact, a medical marijuana card holder can purchase up to 2.5 ounces every 2 weeks.
Wow.
I don't know if that is adequate for most people, but the consensus seems to be that 2.5 ounces is a pretty generous amount of marijuana for a person to be able to purchase on a biweekly basis.
And there's a regulation list of what would be considered, like if someone had, I don't know, migraine headaches or whatever, the doctor would consult the list of what is acceptable. Is that it?
Yeah, the Department of Health Services maintains a list of conditions that are generally recognized as permitting the patient a medical marijuana card. And so that's how the program is run. Now, the problem is because marijuana is prohibited, just the possession of it is prohibited under federal law, the FDA, which would normally regulate it as a drug, doesn't. It can't very well issue regulations with respect to a substance that under the Controlled Substances Act isn't even allowed to be possessed. So what that has created is a void in terms of rules that apply to how medical marijuana is grown, how it's produced, how it's sold, and the type of things that medical marijuana sellers can advertise, or the type of things that they should be required to advertise, you know, such as whether any pesticides were used in connection with the growing of the marijuana. If it was regulated by the FDA, and it's not, those types of things wouldn't even be a question. But because it's permitted only as a result of this state law, which the voters passed in 2010, there just aren't a lot of rules in terms of what medical marijuana dispensaries are required to tell the consumers regarding the product. And the Senate Bill 1420, which is which was introduced this week by Republican Senator Sonny Borelli out of Lake Havasu, would address those kinds of issues.
Because you could use pesticides that may not be even approved by the FDA.
Well, exactly. One of the things that came out of this news story is that there's a fungicide marketed as Eagle 20, which apparently is a heavy carcinogen, which cannot be used under federal law in connection with tobacco products, but there is no rule pertinent to its use with respect to marijuana.
Ooh.
Well, and the people who are debating whether additional rules are necessary for public health and safety are saying, look, if you're using marijuana because you have cancer and you're using it to help alleviate your pain, you're not going to want to use a product that has been treated with a heavy carcinogen, especially when you already, you know, you already have that as a medical condition. So what they're looking to do isn't to regulate the pesticides or herbicides that can be used, but to require that the dispensaries make buyers aware as to what was used in connection with the production.
Okay. Roberta has called us with a question about medical marijuana. Go ahead, Roberta.
Does CBD oil require one of those health services cards?
I don't have the specific list of conditions, but you can go to the Department of Health Services website, and I believe you'll be able to get that information.
All right. Thank you, Roberta. So the Lake Havasu City lawmaker, Senator Borelli, is in effect trying to make this like a consumer protection bill.
More or less.
For medical marijuana users.
Right. This bill, which, as I said, was introduced this week, is Senate Bill 1420, which would require disclosures that currently are not required with regard to the sale of the product. But it does something else that's interesting, and it has nothing to do with consumer health or safety, but rather the cost of the card for the medical marijuana card holders. Right now, the Department of Health Services charges $150 per year for the medical marijuana card. Under SB 1420, that fee would be reduced to $50 for the first year and $25 for each successive year with regard to the renewals. Now, the interesting thing, at least I find it interesting, is that the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act didn't really specify what the Department of Health Services could charge to administer the program. So it set $150 as the fee. The Department of Health Services now has $40 million as a result of those fees it has collected. And despite requests by various contingencies, constituents, I mean, to lower the fee, it has refused to do so. SB 1420 would effectively reduce the fee by a third for the first year, and then to $25 from $150 for each successive year. So a medical marijuana cardholder would realize a significant cost savings in maintaining the card. In addition, this proposal would take $2 million out of the 40 that the Department of Health Services has in its bank account and give it to the Department of Agriculture to sort of implement the health and safety provisions of the proposal.
Well, that's interesting. There's $40 million parked on the sideline from all of this. Where's that money? They're just sitting in a bank account or something?
Yes, as far as I know, it's in DHS's bank account.
Whoa, hope they're getting good interest on it. Don Luce of Luce Brown and Hobkirk Associates, office in Tucson and Phoenix, Estate Planning 101. No, that's Arizona Laws 101. We're not going to change the name of estate planning.
But, you know, that's maybe an alternate title.
I think it might be. It has not gone to the printer yet. So, Don, maybe there is still a time to change the title. But I like that. Then you'd have two books with kind of that 101 thing going for it.
No, I'm going to stick with the original title.
Okay. All right. Don Luce, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
We'll look for you next month, certainly.
My pleasure.
Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen from 4 to 5 here. Wake up Tucson tomorrow morning. Speaking of the legislature, J.D. Mesnar, the House Speaker, will be my guest. And something tells me this medical marijuana may come up on the show during the noon hour tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. On behalf of Ray Allen, Don Luce, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.